Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church, everybody. We are a few, but we are going to be loud. So let's all stand as we begin worship this morning. Victory in Jesus. Song, he sought me, and then after he found me, he bought me with his blood. You know, you just think about that. How profound is it? He sought after me to die for me. Isn't that amazing? We all bow your heads as we open up with a prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that we can come here this morning and worship your holy name, God. Lift our voices to you to tell you we love you, we praise you. We want to hear from you this morning, God. And I thank you for the message that you've given our pastor. God, I pray that it lands in fertile ground in our hearts. Make us into what you want us to be, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you Because of him and the work Jesus done on the cross that we can overcome, and one day we will fly away. Amen.
Victory is yours, and all More. Chooses you on their own unless you begin to work in them first. So we thank you. We praise you. You are so, so worthy. If the angels are worthy, then we are worthy as well because we are higher than the angels. So Lord, we give you this praise. We give you this worship. We pray that you are glorified in it. Lord, now lead us into the time of your word. Open our hearts and our minds to be receptive of your word. Teach us, Lord, teach us how to become more Christ-like so that we can bring glory and honor to you, that we might be able to lead others to an understanding of a saving knowledge that you provide. So, Lord, we ask that you do the incredible, that you do the miracle, that you would even call one to salvation today. So, Lord, we place ourselves here in your midst. Father, as always, I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Forgive all of us of our sin, that there's nothing hindering us. But, Lord, if I'm not the one to preach your word, you would rise up the one. You would silence me, rise up the one to speak. In your place, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. As you see, we're a little thin this morning. We're getting text messages left and right this morning. Teachers having to cancel. As you can see, the praise band's a little thin. Mike got some calls this morning, too. So we just need to pray. You know, obviously, there's illnesses going around, so we just need to pray for everybody. With all that being said, and with the inclement weather that is coming, we are going to cancel Wednesday night because of all this that's going on. We think maybe we could just use a break, a little separation maybe will help us to get through this. And so Wednesday evening services will be canceled. Plus, if we get a foot of snow, you're probably not going to be able to get in here anyway. So, but just so that you know that, just want to let you tell you that. You have your Bibles. I like all the green, or the green and gold. I like all the black and gold. Could be Ben's last game, right? What an error, right, that he had. But, you know, it's going to be his time. Hopefully he'll have another one. I'm kind of doubtful. I was called a heretic last week by my pastor, Joe Buchanan, called and told me that I needed to be stoned because I said that the Pittsburgh Steelers would never make it in the playoffs. I said, brother, you better go hit rewind. And he says, what do you mean? I didn't say they wouldn't be in the playoffs. I said they would never make it to the Super Bowl. So y'all pray they don't make it to the Super Bowl so I don't get stoned, all right? I know, right? But anyways, listen, I'll be wrong. I'll be proud to be wrong if they make it to the Super Bowl. That's a big miracle, amen? If you got your Bibles, open to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, will be 4 through 11. I've entitled this sermon, A Little More Like Jesus. A Little More Like Jesus. This is also the title of a song which I'm going to read you the lyrics of. And most of you, if you listen to Christian radio, you know this song, and it goes like this. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed, because I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Oh, I want to feed the beggar on the street, love to be your hands and feet, freely give what I receive. Lord, help me be. I want a friendship first above all else. Love my neighbor as myself. In the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Now, about this song, Zach Williams said, I wanted to write a song that just really touched on how imperfect we are as humans. Amen. For me, I know I struggle with feelings like I'm not worthy or good enough. I have my good days, I have my bad days, just like everyone else. Can I get an amen? Amen. Well, today is the third Sunday of the year 2022, and thus far this year, we have talked about vision and having a desire and determination to know God's word and to share God's word. And then last week we talked about being unified, striving to being together, being one, being focused as one, as a church body in Christ, to be like-minded. And when we do that, here's a result of that. When we do that, when we are moving in one accord, not a Honda Accord, but in harmony, right? But when we are moving in one accord, the sweetness of that is this. The sweetness of that will result in souls being saved from the pit of hell. That's what the church is supposed to be about. And with that said, how do we have desire and determination for the gospel? How do we have that? And how do we continually stay unified as one body? Well, in the words spoken by John the Baptist in John 3, verse 30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease, right? That is this, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. So with that in mind, let's turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. Read with me, if you will. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in... Now watch, who's going to bow? Of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue will confess one day. Not some, but every, right? Now, in my opinion, these are some of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's powerful. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful promise, actually. I mean, this is what's going to come to pass, and God is telling this. So this morning, I want to show you what it means to be a little more like Jesus and a little less like me. So first, let's look at this. Let's look at more like Jesus, okay? Now, the primary quality of Jesus is he is the true example of being a servant. There's nothing that we can't live through in our Christian life or even our daily lives that Christ has not already exemplified. Jesus, look, he is the true example of being a servant. Jesus came to serve. That's what he did. And here's the truth. If you really want to be more like Jesus, you will have the willingness. Watch. If you want to be more like Jesus, you will have the willingness, a passion to serve him by serving his people, by serving his church. And listen, that doesn't mean that we need to try harder. I'll be very, very watch on this. It doesn't mean that you have to try harder. You either have a passion to serve God because he served us and he saved us. You either have that passion or you don't. It doesn't mean that I try harder. That's not what this means. It means we need to give, or should I say offer, more of ourselves to him in our service for him. I mean, think about it. After all, isn't that what Paul said here? Look again at verses 4 and 5. Look what it says. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, it's not all about me, but also for the interest of others. And look what verse 7 says. But made himself, that's Jesus, right? But made himself of no reputation. Now, some versions say nothing, no reputation. Some versions say nothing. He made himself nothing. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of a bondservant. Now, listen, you can't be like Jesus and not have a servant's heart. You can't be like Jesus and not have his servant's heart. It's not possible. But just for fun, so let me get this and unpack this for you. Let's have a little English lesson here. Now, the word service is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing, right? So in our text, verse 7, a servant is a person, one who serves. However, the word serve is a verb. It's an action word. And it means to work for and obey, to minister to be assistance to or to promote the interest of others, to manage or work for others, to work through or complete, to provide goods and services for others. Now, something interesting that I noticed, out of all these different definitions I just read to you for service, is this. Watch. They all begin with two. To do something. The word service is always a verb, always in action. You know what else is an action word? The word believe. And listen, Christians, these are words that we hear all the time, serve and servant, right? We hear, you can't walk into this church hardly ever without hearing these two words. Now, the term servant or bond servant means slave. It means a person bound in service without wages. Now, the Old Testament Hebrew word for servant translates as slave, as well as the New Testament Greek word translates as slave as well. So servant literally means slave. Now, we don't like that word, right? Especially in our culture today, because the word slave, not only in our day, but in the days of our ancestors, has never been a word that carries any sort of prominence. In fact, the word slave is used, when it is used, it almost always carries a negative undertone. Anytime we hear that, we think, oh. But yet the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest servants ever recorded in history, refers to himself in Romans 1 as what? Paul, a bondservant. Literally, a slave. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So listen, if you want to be a little more like Jesus and a little less like you, then you must be willing and able to say, watch this. I want you to say, I, when I say I, you say your name. I, say it again. I want to hear you say it. I, a bondservant, right? Of Jesus Christ am called to be an apostle separated, that is set apart for what? For God's use. So I, Larry Garrison, a bondservant, a slave of Jesus Christ, I am called. That's why God called me. That's why God saved me. I'm called to be an apostle, separated, set apart to the gospel of God. Therefore, look, if you are truly serious about being more like Jesus, then you need to be truly serious about your service to Him. There's no way around that, and there's no excuse that is sufficient. Listen, I told you a couple weeks ago, it's not me. It's not me that can make this church successful. It's we that can make this church successful. I can't do it all. I told you that, right? We talked about Randy Ryan on Wednesday night, right? Zeke said it took 67 people to do what he did, right? I mean, look, we need to get this, and there's no excuse for not serving. Look what Dwight L. Moody said. He said this, quote, "A great many people have a false idea about the church." I agree with that. A great many people have a false idea about the church. They have the idea that the church is a place to rest in, to get into a nicely cushioned pew. Y'all comfortable? Into a nicely cushioned pew and contribute to the charities, listen to the minister, and do their share to keep the church out of bankruptcy is all they want. The idea of work for them, actual work in the church, never enters their mind, end quote. Never enters their mind, service. Can you get that? You entered your name in that verse, remember? Who are called by God, was called out to serve. He says, but most church members, that never enters your mind. So how is that? Why is that? Well, I can tell you some of the excuses that I've heard. Pastor, I just don't think I can do that. I'm just not qualified, Pastor. I don't think I got all that I need to do that, Pastor. Listen to me very carefully. You've heard me say this before. God didn't call the qualified. He qualified the called. Which one of the disciples' resumes would have measured up for what Christ was calling them to do? Most of them were what? Fishermen. Probably Paul was probably the closest one with a resume. I'm just putting that out there. Listen, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call. And listen to me. I'm a living testimony to that. I am a living testimony to that. Don't have any special education or anything like that. God has done this. Look, here's another one. Pastor, I just don't want the responsibility. Yeah, me either. But here we are, right? What if I had that attitude? What if Randy and Jim would have had that attitude? Richard Whitehair. What if they had that attitude? What if Richie had that attitude? He's not even over there right now. What if Richie had that attitude? What if Zeke had that attitude? What if Barb had that attitude? And the many others who serve. And if we are unwilling, to take on this responsibility that God gave to us, the church, His people, that God, if we're unwilling to take on this responsibility God gave to us, the church, then who will meet the call? You know, we have all kinds of excuses to not meet this call. Pastor, this is a good one. I don't have the time. Yeah, me either. But here we are. Most people don't have the time. Listen, I get what you're saying. I understand. Trust me, you think, well, we pay you to do this, but you didn't always do that. You know, when I worked at Weirton Lumber, I worked 6 days a week, 9 hours each day, and then 4 or 5 hours on Saturday at that time. I worked 6 days a week. Listen, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I have the same amount of time as you. ran the youth ministry, was the head of the building and grounds, headed up the educational ministry in interim for a year. You know how many hours in a day I had? Plus a family. I had 24 hours in a day, just like you all. Listen to this. Or how about this? Pastor, I'm just not ready. I want you to get this, and I want you to listen clearly. If God called you, you're ready. If God's calling you, you're ready. Pastor, I'm not smart enough, or I don't know enough. Me either. You understand something? God gives me what I need when I need it, and a lot of times He gives it to me out of some of you or most of you. Listen, I'm not above going asking for help or asking for opinion or asking what do you think this means. Listen, I get most of what I need obviously from the Holy Spirit, but a lot of times from most of you. Listen, we're in this together. We're in this together. You got my back. I got your back. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I want you to be very clear. I spend endless hours in study. This doesn't just happen. I just don't walk up here and then and air it all comes out. That doesn't happen that way. I spend endless hours in study. I have to study. I have to prepare. I have to seek God in my prayer time. But listen, you need to be doing that too, even if you're not the pastor. Or how about this? Or pastor, I'm too old. I've heard that several times. Pastor, I'm too old. Now I want you to think about what you do in this church, and I want to talk to you about some old people, okay? I'm too old. Let some of those younger ones serve. I've served my time already. It's somebody else's turn. I've been doing this for this many years. It's somebody else's turn to do it. You know, I was trying to research throughout the Word of God, and I could not find anywhere at all where God put a retirement date on service. Now listen, we are blessed in this church. We have a lot of people who serve. We have more than most people who serve in compared to other churches. We have a lot, but there's a lot more places of service. But, you know, look, I couldn't find a retirement date on service. In fact, according to Exodus chapter 7, verse 7, at the age of 80 and 83, Moses and Aaron were chosen to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Anybody doing anything like that here? 80? Look at that, 80 and 83. And according to Joshua 24:29, Joshua died at the age of 110. You're getting close, aren't you? You're, Randy's gone, buddy. You're in. But look, he died at the age of 110, but was chosen to lead the conquest of Canaan during the last 30 years of his life, which means that conquest began when he was 80 years old. Caleb was also involved in that conquest, and according to Joshua 16, 6 through 11, he was 85 years old. And Daniel was well into his 80s when he served as one of the three governors over the kingdom of Babylon. Doing anything like that? Zacharias and Elizabeth, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 7, were both well advanced in years. Simeon and Anna in Luke 2, 25 through 38, God told Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Christ. So apparently he was to serve until he saw the Christ and then he would die. Basically, he was to serve until Christ called him home, till God called him home. And Anna, we know she was at least 84 years old, still serving in the temple. Listen to me, I could go on and on and on and on. But listen to what Psalm 92, verse 12 through 15 says. Look what it says. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in what? Old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. So there you go. No retirement age on service. You shall still bear fruit in old age. to declare the Lord is upright and there is no unrighteousness in him. People ask me, what are you going to do when you, if you ever retire? What are you going to do? I said, I will serve the Lord somewhere. I may not be a head pastor somewhere, but I will serve somewhere. I won't give up until I can't. I think I've hammered that long enough. Amen. Listen, no expiration date on service. Yes, the young need to serve. I mean, we have men in Scripture that were very young, Timothy and Daniel and others, and the mother of Jesus. The young need to serve. The tweeners, I got that off of you. The tweeners need to serve. And yes, the older need to serve. It is all of us in here together. It's all of us that make the church. It's all of us that will make this work complete. And sometimes, listen, I hear this, Pastor, I just don't want to. I can deal with that. You don't want to know why? That's honest. That's truth. Pastor, I just don't want to. And listen, regardless of what words you use, here is the truth. When you say things like, I have no desire to serve God, I would rather spend my time doing what I want to do, not what God wants me to do, that's more of you and less of Jesus. You're calling yourself a Christian and you're saying things like this, that's more of you and less of Jesus. You know, I am certain that Zeke spends hours each week preparing for his Sunday school lesson. I'm guessing that's true, right? Don't say no, all right? Right. No, yeah, right. He's saying right? And I'm certain Lorraine is not here. She had to call off this morning. I'm certain Lorraine spends countless hours in God's Word preparing for her Sunday school lesson. I know for sure that Randy spent so many hours serving God in this church that he spent so many hours in this church doing things for others, he didn't have time to retire. He was always doing something. But understand, I want you to get these something about these people. I just took a couple of them, okay? But understand, Zeke has a full-time job in Bridgeville, and he lives in Toronto, Ohio. So he has a full-time job and a farm, a full working farm, and a family. So I'm certain that there are things that he could spend his time doing other than preparing for hours on his Sunday school lesson. If your service doesn't cost you something, it's probably not worth being involved in. Lorena has a small child, a husband. And all you wives know what that means if you've got a husband. Work. Lorena has a small child, a husband, and a household to take care of. So I'm certain that she could fill those early morning hours with sleep rather than study. Amen. I know that Mike, and I know his was greater than mine because I was worship leader for years, but his responsibility with all of this is far greater than mine. I know that Mike spends hours preparing for your worship each week. It's a matter of importance to him, so he labors over that. And the members of the praise band spend hours in practice, not only corporately here, but also individually on their own at home. That just doesn't come out automatic. I know that they're talented people, but they got to practice. And don't get me started on Richie. His schedule is ridiculous. Most of us couldn't even keep it. Listen, I could go on and on and on and list others that serve in this church, and we are blessed to have people like this. And I have no doubt that the hours they spend serving could be filled with other things. That the hours that they spend serving could be filled with other things. Let me ask you something, brothers, sisters that serve. When you make a commitment like that, you have to be here every Sunday. I woke up this morning. I'm not going to lie to you. I woke up this morning after last week. I woke up this morning in an alarm clock when I'm like, oh, man, if I wasn't a pastor. But listen, I'm talking about not coming to church. I'm talking about service. If you're using these excuses, then the truth is you don't have a servant's heart or the heart of Christ to serve others. So if you are using these excuses, ask yourself this. Ask yourself, do I really want to be a little more like Jesus, or do I just want to be me? And before you answer that question, right? Do I really want to be more like Jesus, or do I just want to be more like me? Before you answer that, look at verse 4 again. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't believe that this verse can be misunderstood. It pretty much says it just like it is. We are to look out for the interest of others, not only our own. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. We are to look out for each other. I'm to look out for you, and you're to look out for me. We are to be invested in one another spiritually. We're to be invested in one another personally. We're to be invested in one another corporately. Listen, God has given every single person here talents and gifts. Those who are here, he's given us talents and gifts that are to be used for the benefit of others. He didn't give me this gift that I have just to benefit me. He gave me this gift that I have in him to benefit you. Listen to me. What I'm trying to say is this. If God called you and saved you, or if Mike said, if God found you, he sought you and found you, then he called you for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. And I guarantee you, if he called you, he will provide for you a way to fulfill that purpose. And trust me, his purpose for calling you has to do with serving him. I mean, think about that. The purpose for him calling you and saving you has to do with serving him and his church, his people. And I know this can be scary for some people. I'm telling you, it was scary for me, and it still is scary for me. But it's scary for some people, but listen to me. I can speak from firsthand experience. When God called me into the ministry, I honestly don't know how he's done it or why he has done it. But I can tell you this, he at every turn has sustained me in the call. You see, it is his working in me. It is God's presence in me. It's his working in me that provides the means for me to glorify him. It's not on my own account. It is all God. I can't do what I do on my own. It will not work. It is all God all the time. Great sermon, Pastor. That was a great deal. That was a nice service. This was a great sermon, this and that. What do I say? Give all the glory to God. Why? Because I can't do it. And that's the biggest fear to get over. The truth is you can't apart from Christ. Apart from God, you can't. Except this. Listen, I have really nothing to do with it except this. Here's what my part is. I want to be in his will. I desire to be more like him and less like me. And how do I do that? I do that by surrendering my will for his will daily. Remember, I told you I didn't want to get out of bed this morning. But where am I at? But I want him. I'm still in bed. Listen, I want more of his will. Me, I want to be in his will. And I want more of that. And I do that by allowing him to produce in me a servant's heart. I have to allow him to do a work in me. By giving myself to him and simply being available for him to use me. I just make myself available. And I pray that you will allow him to use you. I pray that you will allow him to use you in the same, very same way. And listen, it's work for sure. Like I said, it's sacrifice for sure. It's work for sure. But when you are in God's will, When you're in God's will, it will produce a joy. It will produce a purpose in you that will be satisfying and gratifying. That's the benefit. Because I know that when I'm in God's will, He gives me this peace. He gives me a joy. Listen, is it always joyful in the ministry? No. But is it joyful knowing I'm in God's will? Yes. It's not joyful when you get phone calls on a Sunday morning and half your praise band is gone or half your Sunday school teachers. But listen, thank God we have people who will step up. Amen. I'm proud of you, church. Listen, fulfilling the word of God always manifests itself in service to others. Fulfilling the will of God always manifests itself in service to others and sacrifice to self. A little less like me. Therefore, secondly, being more like Jesus means this, being point number two, less like me. Now, what is the one thing that gets in the way of serving? That's exactly right. Think back to the excuses that I read off to you. Every one of the excuses that I gave you began with I. Now, let's be honest. Isn't it true that we put our own interests, our own needs and thoughts in front of the will of God? There's times that I do. Listen, I'm not trying to point fingers. I'm telling you, there's times that I do. Well, listen to me. In order for us to become more like Jesus, we need to empty ourselves of I issues. Why don't you try that? You know, sometimes in counseling, and especially post-marriage counseling, I will tell people the big thing is to communicate, but when you communicate, don't use the word I. Try that sometime. We need to empty ourselves of I issues. You know, wasn't it Toby Keith that had a song about that? Was that who it was, Toby Keith? It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one. Well, let me tell you something. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's not true. It's all about him. It's all about others. I'm not number one. You know, when I was saved, it was no longer about me. I lived 28 years for it being about me. When I got saved, it was no longer about me. And listen, it took me a while to figure that out. We've got to empty ourselves of I issues, church. We must empty ourselves of ourself. We have to empty ourselves out. And you're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, listen, I'm going to give you an illustration here in just a minute about Jesus Christ himself, how he emptied himself out, right? But we need to be willing to become less like me and more of what God called us to be. Now, think about God the Father. Think about God. What if God would have looked at Jesus, and he said, Son, those people I have created are fools. Look at them, son. Look at them. They're trying to do it all on their own. And they are, and look, they have failed again. Everybody is down there doing what they think is right in their own eyes. It's whatever I think is right, well, then that's what's good for me. They're doing what they think is right in their own eyes. And him looking at Jesus is saying, and they're wrong. And I can't even look up on them anymore. So I need you, son, to go to earth and show people who I am. I want to ask you to empty yourself. I want you to go show them the way to me. You are the way, son. Go show them the way. You go show them, son. What if Jesus' response was, Dad, you know what? I don't want to. I don't think so. I really like it here. I don't want to miss anything that's going on here in heaven, Lord. You know, I like spending time here. It's really nice here. I'm very comfortable. And plus, I don't want to miss out on what's happening. Anything. I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss any of the new arrivals coming. And Father, Dad, they're so needy. They're going to suck up all of my time. Their problems are going to become my problems, and they're going to want more and more and more and more of me. The more I give, the more they're going to want. For crying out loud, Dad, you're asking me to give up everything for people. You're asking me to give up everything for people who probably won't even appreciate what I've done or what I'm going to do. Look, and looking ahead, Dad, look, looking ahead, it seems that I won't even have a place to lay my head. And the cost to me is going to be huge, Dad. Do you understand what it's going to cost me? They're going to kill me, Dad. If I go serve them, they're literally going to drain me to the point of death. Besides, Dad, these people have made their own bed. So why don't we just let him lie in it? Just give them what they deserve. Or, Dad, I'm sure you could figure something else out, or someone else, someone besides me to do it. Let me ask you something. What if that had been the response from Jesus? Right? What if that had been the response of Jesus? Don't want to be bothered. It's going to cost me too much. I like it where I'm at. I don't want to miss anything. But that's not what happened, is it? And you all know that, right? Verse 6. Look what it says. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but, there it is, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, a slave, and coming in the likeness of men. Have you ever sat back and thought, I mean really sat back and thought, about the sacrifice that Jesus made to follow the will of his Father? And what it cost him to be a servant? Do you understand? He gave up heaven. In the glory of all his position held, he gave up his throne. He stepped off his throne. He gave up himself in his own interest to be a servant, to be a slave to you and me. Think about it. Every culture since the beginning of time considers a slave a lowly position, yet willfully, Jesus obeyed the will of his Father. Why? Why? Well, do you remember the part of the definition of servant is to serve the interest of a higher authority? You see, the man, watch, the man Jesus Christ in all his glory was willing, Jesus Christ in himself in all of his glory was willing to be humbled. He was willing to serve the interest of a higher authority. Listen, it isn't easy to be humble. Any amens? Listen, it isn't easy to be humble. It isn't easy to sacrifice what we want for what God wants. It's just not easy. Look at verse 8. Watch it. Look at verse 8. In being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Listen to me. Does that sound easy? Understand, this was Jesus' act of service to God, death on a cross. Now, whenever you think that your act of service to God is tough, listen to me. I want you to come back and read this verse. When you're having a bad day in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, come back and read this verse. I want you to go back and watch, listen, and then go turn on the Passion of the Christ. to death on a cross. Yeah, just go back as a reminder, watch the Passion of Christ, and get a sense of what Jesus went through for you and me. And honestly, I don't think that movie does any justice to what he really did go through. I think it was much worse than what is displayed there. If you can imagine that, I believe it was worse than that. He came to serve the Father and to serve you and I through the Father. Does that sound familiar, what he's asking of us? Now, I've told you over the past couple of weeks that most people fail to keep their New Year's resolutions, right? And why is that? It's because they lose focus. People lose focus. They take their eyes off the goal, right? That's what happens. You take your eyes off the goal, what you set, and so you lose focus. You take your eyes off the goal. That when you, and you end up falling. But when you resolve in your heart, that I for sure am going to start afresh, that I'm going to commit myself to being more like Jesus and less like me, let me ask, when you make that sort of a commitment, you make that resolve in your heart, that I'm going to start afresh, I'm going to start anew, I'm going to start something new and fresh, I want to do over, I want to start now, I want something more in my life, I want something that is going to have purpose in my life, I want something that's going to bring joy in my life, I want to seek God. You know who's going to pop in there? You know who's going to pop in there and try to distract you and help you lose focus? Who's going to make you get your mind less on Jesus and more on you? Listen, I guarantee you Satan will jump in there. If I've ever been part of leading you to salvation, one of the things I'll tell you right off the bat, you understand from this point forward, Satan is going to try to disrupt you and destroy you from this point. He's going to try to get you to doubt what you just made a profession of. I guarantee you Satan will jump in there at every opportunity he can to divert your mind, to distract you from thoughts of Jesus to thoughts of self, guaranteed. Listen to me. He will do whatever he has to and make you doubt yourself. I have grown Christians. There's been times in my life I think, oh my, is that really? He gets you to doubt yourself. To take your focus off the goal. And usually, to be honest with you, we give him plenty of ammo ourselves. We give him plenty of ammo to work with. For instance, I can't study my Bible today because I have a headache. I can't go to the prayer meeting tonight because I just have too much to do. I need to get things done at the house, and so I'm going to just blow off prayer meeting tonight. Listen, you take prayer out of the church, you have no backbone in the church. I can't help with the children extended. Does this sound like the Jesus thing I said? God asked Jesus to leave his. I can't help with the children standing because I need to be fed. I need to hear the sermon. I can't go out and help at the church on work day because today's my only day off and I have my own stuff to take care of. I can't come to Sunday school. Lord knows, look at me. I need another hour of beauty sleep. Right? I can't come to Sunday school. I need an extra hour of sleep. Listen, I'm not trying to be abusive here. I'm trying to get you to see the points. Satan will redirect your thoughts away from God and onto ourselves. That's what all those things do. Those are things, is I'm looking at myself, I'm not looking at God. Satan will jump in there, and we give him that ammo. But here's the thing, when we get rid of the eye problem and stay focused on him, when we can do that, when we truly empty ourselves of ourself and what we want and focus on him and what he wants, I want you to look at the result. Verse 9. When Jesus was obedient, look, verse 9. Therefore God also, has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen, amen, amen. But do you see it? I'm asking, I want you to read in there a little deeper. Do you see it? When Jesus emptied himself of all that he was to come here, for it, but when we empty ourselves of self and place all of our focus on Jesus Christ and his work and his service, the result will be this. Watch. Glory to God. Glory to God. And listen, when you glorify God with your life, when you do that, he in turn will exalt you and elevate your heart and your relationship with him to new heights. He'll take you to a plane that you have never been on before, and his presence will be in your life and will be stronger than ever. In fact, it'll be so strong that when in life is a chaos around you, if somebody asks you how you're doing, what are they going to say? There's a servant. Why? Because emptying ourselves of all that we are, for all that he is, brings glory to God the Father. And the blessings of that, folks, watch, the blessings of that is when we truly experience the presence of God in our lives, my joy and peace and purpose of God is in me. And it's alive and active and well. It produces in me a joy and a peace and a stronger presence with God. And secondly, it's a blessing. It's a blessing when we can lead someone else to experience the presence of God through salvation. What a blessing that is to lead someone to Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want all of him I can get in my life. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want that crown to be full of jewels. Not simply because I work for it, but because I love him. Because I love him. You know what else I want? I want everybody else I know, I want all of you to get the most from God that you can. More of him, less of me. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, oh Lord, help me be a little more like mercy. A little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Now, does this just happen? Nope. How does it begin to happen? Let me preach this over again. How does this begin to happen? I have to become a slave to Christ, to the gospel, and I have to take action. Servant, serve. I have to be a slave to Christ, and trust me, that's not a bad thing. And I have to take an action. I have to say yes when my flesh wants to say no. And I'm not, as I said, I'm preaching to myself. There's a lot of times that I want to say no. There's times I have said no when I said yes. I have to say yes when my flesh wants me to say no. I have to go when I want to sit still. I have to go when I want to stay in bed. Jesus showed us the pattern, right? He showed us a path. He is the example. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to examine yourself. Ask God to reveal to you what He sees you as. For you to examine yourself before God. Listen to me. If you belong to God, He is speaking to you right now. And you know it. It's called conviction. If you belong to God, He's speaking to you right now. So the question is, what's He saying to you? What's He saying to you? More importantly, will you follow His leading? Will you follow that? Will you become a little less you and a little more Him? Will you become a bondservant of Christ? I told you in the last couple of weeks, and I've hammered this pretty good, and I'm going to leave this after this message, is done. It's not time for the church to be sitting. It's not the time. We need to be standing and moving. Amen. Also this morning, as we are just beginning this new year, therefore, don't you believe it's a good time to make a commitment to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You say, I don't know all that I need. No, you don't. But you do know this much, that you need to be forgiven of your sins or you'll never inherit the kingdom of God. And there's only one perfect one who paid for your sins, and that is Jesus Christ. So would you do that? Would you make a commitment to come and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you? And then come to serve God and to be more like Jesus and less like yourself. To be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, and a little less like. Father God, thank you. Help us, Lord, to meet the call in which you've placed on each and every one of us that you have saved. Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to step up, especially in our day, in our time, when the gospel needs to be out. It needs to be being shared. Lord, people need to know that there are people who care, who love them, and they want to help meet their needs. Lord, let us be that church. Let us be that people. Let us be your people. So here we are, Lord, as your church. Here am I, send me to do your will. Lord, I pray that there are many in this congregation are praying that today. And Lord, if there's one in this place that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, that they would step out at the prayer time and they would come and get me. And Lord, we will take the time needed to sit down and talk about it and let me share the gospel with them. So Lord, do not let Satan win this. Let us respond rightly to what you're speaking into our hearts. Would you move in a very powerful way, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open.
Will you all please stand?
Your commitment's not to me, your commitment's to Him. Calling you to do something in this church, you need prayer, you come.
The hour has
you all for being here. Don't forget Wednesday night is canceled, but as you walk out those doors, don't forget to praise God. Amen. He is so worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen.
Also, real quick, Sunday school teachers, back in the ladies' Sunday school class, we're going to have our meeting real quick.
All right. All right. Go praise God. You're dismissed. I love you all. Goodbye.
Praise God. Praise God.